Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Green Climate Fund Civil Society Active Observer Mina Raman has the floor. Friends of the Earth International demanded on May the 1st that developed nations provide the Green Climate Fund, GCF, with the resources they pledged in 2014, warning that the contributions made so far are alarmingly low. The GCF announced on April the 30th that countries had missed a deadline to provide the contributions needed for the fund to begin allocating money to developing countries. The fund, which plays a key role in providing the financial resources needed to enable developing countries to move to low-emission and climate-resilient futures, received only $4 billion equivalent in contributions by the 30th of April 2015 deadline, stated Friends of the Earth International in a press release issued on May the 1st. The $4 billion represents only 42% of the amount that was committed during the fund's initial pledging conference in 2014, while at least 50% of the funds, or $4.7 billion, should have been legally committed in order for the GCF to be effective. In total, slightly less than $10.2 billion has been pledged to the GCF over a four-year period, which is about $2.5 billion per year, added the text. In total, developed countries are supposed to contribute $100 billion annually by 2020 in climate finance. Climate finance and the GCF should be essential components of an international climate agreement expected to be signed at the 21st Conference of the Parties, COP, of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which will be held in Paris in December 2015. During the conference, Seeding Climate Justice, Maputo Meeting on Real Solutions to the Climate Crisis, held in this capital city of Mozambique from April the 21st to the 23rd, the GCF Civil Society Active Observer, Mina Raman from Friends of the Earth Malaysia, and the Third World Network gave a presentation about the GCF and its development so far.
The last few days we have been talking about false solutions, good solutions, how do we go forward? So this is a presentation about the Green Climate Fund. It's a new baby which has just been born. And whether this new baby is going to grow up to be a bad baby or a good baby is in our hands. And that is the challenge before us. So we are the parents. Not necessarily, but we are. What I mean is that As babies grow, we have a role. So this is the Green Climate Fund. The title is very deliberate. Michelle said the greedy climate fund yesterday, the greedy corporate fund. It can turn out to be the greedy corporate fund. Or it can also turn out to be a fund that we can shape it in the way we want to shape it, depending on how powerful we are. That, I think, is our challenge. And so I call it opportunities, challenges, and risks, because it is all of that. What is the background? Just to give you an idea, the governments agreed in the climate change convention that they will create this fund. Why? Who pushed it? It was pushed by the developing countries. Developed countries did not want it. They said, oh, we have the World Bank, we have the Clean Technology Fund in the World Bank, the Climate Investment Funds of the World Bank, we have the Global Environment Facility, which is also linked to the World Bank. So why are you all wanting another fund? And the developing countries' answer was, because we don't want the World Bank. That was the answer. Okay, so this was a fund not to do things differently from the World Bank, because people didn't like the World Bank. And it was our governments who fought for it, and many of us supported our governments in doing this, because our hope was that perhaps there is a way to do this differently. Now, there are 24 board members, half of whom are developed countries and developing countries. This is different from the World Bank setup, because in the World Bank, the people with the largest voices are those who put the money. The donors have the biggest voices, not the recipients. So this is supposed to be different, and that in a way is different. For Africa, who are the board members? I wish Bobby Peak was here. Yes, he is, good. There's South Africa, there's Egypt, and there's Benin. And the LDCs are represented by Zambia, with the alternates being Bangladesh. So these are your board members, who have been doing a fantastic job, actually, to tell you the truth, who have been fighting very hard with the United States and other developed country board members. And I'll come to who exactly is the people involved later. And what is its objective? And this is what it states in the constitution of the Green Climate Fund. It says that in the context of sustainable development, to promote a paradigm shift towards low emission and climate resilient development pathways by providing support to developing countries to limit or reduce their greenhouse gas emissions and to adapt to the impacts of climate change. A very noble objective. It talks about a paradigm shift. But whether indeed, am I too fast for the interpreters? I'm fine? Okay, good. Whether indeed it will do a paradigm shift, again, it's a huge challenge. But it talks about it. It sets out in the objective. So far, $10.2 billion has been pledged to the fund for a period of 4 years, starting from this year, which is about $2.5 billion a year. This is very far from the $100 billion per year pledged by in Cancun by 2020. However, it is still the largest multilateral fund for climate. So that's a significant thing. That if the money comes, it's going to be the largest. Why I say if, I'll come in a while. Most of the money pledged, which is another good thing, is in the form of grants. Very important. It's not loans. Most of it is grants. So developed countries are putting the money, are putting it in the form of grants largely, which means the fund can actually give out a lot of grants, which is very important, particularly for countries who have debt problems. Because if you are given loans, then you will have more problems to pay back. So this, particularly for adaptation, for instance, we cannot have a loan. It has to be grants. Now, so far, only 1.9% has been put in the fund, so far. But in a few days, in 8 days, 50% of that billions, of at least about 9 to 10 billion, has to come in. If it doesn't, then there is a huge crisis that would have been generated in terms of a crisis of confidence in the developed countries who said that they will do and then don't do. So that's quite significant. How do they allocate? Usually, in the past, with some of the climate finance which has come, it's always been very much reducing emissions, what they call mitigation. There is a recognition that adaptation is also important, because if countries are not reducing the emissions fast enough, adaptation, people will have to adapt, and people are adapting right now, as we saw. But that's not enough money, and there's huge amounts of resources that's needed. So they say 50-50 of that money is supposed to be equal. And this is important. They say it's a floor of 50%, which means that the minimum is 50%. It can be more for adaptation, particularly for LDCs. Mozambique is one of them. Small island states and African states. Among all the countries in the world, African states, LDCs, and SIDS have been prioritized. While there are other countries as well, like the Philippines, like the Indonesia, like Pakistan, like India, yeah, I'm not mentioning China because I think China can take care of itself, but they do need technology. But the point is that there are other countries, and the fund is prioritizing you, your governments. And that's where your responsibility is very high. And it's, and the problem, one of the problems, and we will come to that again later, the developed countries, particularly the United States and Japan, wanted a large amount of money to go through to the private sector. This was a big fight. They kept insisting. They said, we want a large amount of money to go to the private sector. The fight now is, who is private sector? Which private sector? Who determines which private sector? So we will come back to that in a little while. And there is money for what is called readiness. Readiness means making our countries prepared to get ready. Yeah? Because I don't know about you, in my country, in Malaysia, there are two officials taking care of climate change. Absolutely pathetic. Totally pathetic. Yeah? So what we are telling our governments is, you have no more excuses. If you keep saying you don't have money, you have money here from the fund, up to about $1 million a year, and about 300,000 of that can go to you to strengthen your institution. So don't give me the crap about not having enough money for institution building. And what does it mean? They have to prepare the country programs for the low emission, the climate resilient development strategies. They are supposed to be helped in supporting for stakeholder consultations. A lot of this is words for us. We may not trust governments, yeah? But when you have these words as activists, we take them seriously and we fight with governments to say, stakeholder consultation means you consult with us. Don't give me the excuse you cannot. Yeah? And then it says that you're supposed to also make sure that the standards, environmental and social safeguards are also taken care of. We'll come more to that. So there is this that is some readiness money for all this. Yeah? And then, I'll skip this, I've already mentioned this. And what is the funding for? Too much words here, but let me just break it down. So stakeholder engagement is a very key part of that. Our institutions have to be stronger, very key part of that. And they are supposed to also make sure that the strategies include low emission development, national adaptation plans, and there are guidelines on how to do all this, on how to prepare and so on. Now, the areas that they have identified for funding, some of which can be a problem for us, but we need to see what cannot be a problem for us as well. Cities is one of it, yeah? Design and planning of cities, support for mitigation, very broad. It can be anything. It can be public transport. It can be, reduce, reuse, and recycle. It could be waste programs, not waste to energy, but the three R's. Energy efficiency of buildings and appliances. This may not apply to many of the, this is for the bigger countries where they have huge problems in relation to energy efficient buildings. Low emission transport, low emission energy access. It can be anything. What is low emission energy access? Small, medium, and large scale low emission power generation. Small and medium may be okay for us. Large scale may be a problem for us. What does that mean? Now all this is still unfolding. Sustainable land use management and support for mitigation and adaptation. It can be anything, yeah, that we want to define. Sustainable forest management, yeah. They also have red. People who don't like red, But this is not for red for carbon markets. You can get money for as grants for forest protection. That's also possible. Not as red, it can be anything. It's for forest. Like I come from Malaysia. There's a particular state that is about to destroy an entire water catchment forest, which is so important for water and biodiversity. And they say, we have to do this because we don't have money, we want to log. And we say, don't do it. Money from the Green Climate Fund is coming. They said, what? What Green Climate Fund? We said, yes, there is Green Climate Fund. We can help you get that money on the condition you keep that forest intact and don't bulldoze it. So at least we are able to stop them from doing this for now. Yeah? Because that's one opportunity we see. And of course, for forest communities, that's a different question. It's not for us to say, because the minute money comes into communities, it can also destroy communities. That's another battleground that we need to be aware about. Adaptation. Many of our fisher folk are doing community-based adaptation. Yeah, we are talking about small grants funding. Is this possible? Where communities themselves manage and do this stuff, agroecology, which is already what we are doing. Is this something that we can do more with? And we are coming with these proposals to you, to the government. We want you to do this. Now we can go on the offensive and say, we have the solutions. We want you to do it. We want you to do it here, here, and here. And this is how we want to do it. Go on the offensive. Knock on their doors and say, we want to do that. Also possible. Micro hydro. In some longhouse communities for indigenous peoples in my part of the world, communities try to generate electricity for themselves. They could do it, but they had to have external money for it. But if we could take some of this money from the Green Climate Fund, it could generate electricity for people who need electricity without getting to the big grids. But community-driven energy, can this be a possibility? I think that's a huge possibility. So we can go with it. And so there is, in fact, it says scaling up effective community-based adaptation and community projects. So we can, yeah? Now, you may not be able to see this, but basically the fund itself is supposed to measure its impact. And the impact it is supposed to measure is reducing emissions through all this and increasing livelihoods, increasing resilience for the most vulnerable peoples and communities. Yesterday in my little group, we talked about restoring the ecosystem through community livelihoods. We said that. Now, I see this totally. This is going to be a huge possibility if it's possible. Improved resilience of ecosystems and I don't like ecosystem services because this is sometimes loaded, but we can define it the way we want. As Nimmo saying, a lot of these words sometimes are already taken away from us, but we have to reclaim it and redefine it. So the investment criteria that they talk about, they say, I'll just highlight the main ones. They talk about the potential of the program or the project to achieve the paradigm shift. It's a big thing. The sustainable development potential. Is there wider benefits? Are there co-benefits? Are women involved? Is there, in fact, the Climate Fund has just come up with a gender policy and a gender action plan. Many of the gender experts in the CSO community who took a look at that were not completely happy with it, but they say we can start with it and we can improve it. So many of them are engaging, and it's a very strong gender component in there that our people are pushing. And the needs of the recipient country, country ownership, and so on. All these very important principles and criteria. This, perhaps, for those of you working at the national level, is the most important. The Green Climate Fund has asked governments to set up what's called national designated authorities. These are the people, the institutions in our government who will be the most important in terms of deciding what proposals go through. And as of January 83, governments have been formed. For South Africa, do you know who it is? Who is your national designated authority? Mr. Zahir, yeah? Zahir Fakir, who sits in the GCF board, he is in charge of the national designated. Now engage with him. You have to, my comrades, you have no choice. You have to go knock on your door if you don't like him. Actually, he's been very good on the board, by the way. He's been fighting very hard. So those of you who can work, I think this is a good opportunity. For Mozambique, I don't know. It's probably your environment ministry or your land ministry, whoever is in the negotiation. You need to find out who they are. So knock on their door. Say that we want to talk to you. What are you doing? What are you planning? What can we do for you? We want to, this is what we are proposing. How do you see it? What's your thinking? Engage them, shout at them, scream at them, cajole them, and work with them if you can. Yeah, I think there's a tremendous opportunity. I'm an optimist. I think that if anything goes wrong, it's all our fault. Okay, now, why? Because the capitalists knock on their door and sit in their door, wine and dine, play golf. I'm not saying we play golf, wine and dine, but we need to do it too. And push the capitalists out of the door. Now, their role, they will consider funding proposals. And they have to give a no objection letter to every proposal before it goes through. Very important role. Yeah? And they are supposed to have best practices in terms of what kind of national consultations and engagements. All this is still evolving. We can shape it. It's not fixed in stone yet. This is why this baby can be shaped at our national level. If the baby is grown and then we start shaping, it might be a little too late. Now, then who can access the funds? They are supposed to be accredited entities at the national level who can go to the fund. In the past, many governments in the developing world used to depend on international agencies, whether it's the UN agencies like UNDP, or UNEP, or the multilateral development banks, like the Asian Development Bank, African Development Bank, World Bank. But now, there is an opportunity to have what's called direct access, meaning a national entity can directly access the funds. You don't need to go through international entities at all. Now, the accreditation, I'm going to go through all that, but the bad news for some of us was that 7 entities were accredited at the last meeting, and they came as a package. And for civil society, we fought very hard. We said, this is not the way to go. We don't like the way you have done it. We were not consulted, and we don't like it, and don't do it again, and we are fighting hard. And this is not the end. But the 7 who were accredited included, for Africa, it's a group from Senegal. It's called Centre de Suivi Ecologique. I don't know who they are. I have no clue. You better find out who they are. And they are focusing on combating desertification and protecting coastal areas. So these people can actually, begin to solicit proposals and access the Green Climate Fund. For us in Asia, we were very disappointed and upset and distressed that the Asian Development Bank has been accredited. We had a huge campaign in Asia to fight the Asian Development Bank. So what did we do and what are we doing now? All our campaigners who are fighting the Asian Development Bank are now going to be engaging with the Asian Development Bank to say, we will condemn you if you do the same projects as you were doing. And we have already set up meetings with the ADB on this. So we are going on the offensive when we warn them. We said, we don't like your accreditation, but you are going to suffer a reputational risk if you do funding the wrong way. So the warning signs have been started. Now we have to do a lot more of the work. And then UNDP as well. They are another. So there are some interim environmental and social safeguards. It's supposed to be based on the International Finance Corporation's performance standards. Some of our CSO experts looked at it. We don't think that the IFC, the International Finance Corporation, is the best. But apparently, at the moment, it's supposed to be the best of the best. But we're saying it's not good enough. And so we are still engaging. It's supposed to be interim. So we are still fighting for better standards. And there's environmental and social risks that they are supposed to look at, labor and working conditions, resource efficiency and pollution prevention, community health, safety and security, land acquisition and involuntary settlement, resettlement, biodiversity, conservation, indigenous peoples and cultural heritage. There are some details under this I didn't put, but these are basically the performance standards, which means whatever the GCF does cannot lead to these bad results. There are some standards there. Now, more work on that front, of course, but we will have to look at it. Another concern, there's a big push by the developed countries now in the board, because the board is now making decisions on consensus. They want to change this to the World Bank to make it voting linked to contributions. They say we need to have voting. Those with more money will have a bigger vote. And our developed countries are saying, no, we cannot agree to that. And the other fight, private sector. What private sector? We are saying it's not the transnationals who need to benefit, because the world has not changed and the world has been doomed because of transnationals. What we need to do different is to go through micro, small, and medium enterprises. And who are the micro, small, and medium? It's the farmers' cooperatives. It's the fisherfolk communities. It's the hawkers. It's the small transport. It's a whole range of us and our people we work with. These are the people who should be the drivers, because that will make it a new paradigm, not the old paradigm. It's the women's entrepreneurs. This is where we come forward with a big agenda and say, you cannot do business as usual, because business as usual to take you the wrong way. New paradigm shift, and this is where we want to go. So there is some opportunity here. That's the website of the Green Climate Fund. I must apologize to you on behalf of them. It's not friendly at all. And if you can also go to the Third World Network website, which is there, where we have articles. The good thing is that there are four observers who sit with the board. Two from civil society and two from private sector. The two civil society, one from the north and one from the south. I represent the civil society of the south. And there's another who represents the civil society of the north, who's from Brandon Wu, who is from ActionAid International. So the two of us sit there. We actually sit there. We can make interventions. We can talk to the board. And we have a small group of very good people working with us with all the technical stuff. Not enough people from the south. I am not campaigning for you to come to the Green Climate Fund. No. Stay at home. We will do the work. Those of you who want to come and see how it's functioning, you can come with us. But the most important work, and this is my last final comment, is for you to engage at the national level, to really focus on the national institutions, focus on the national plans, focus on the false solutions and the good solutions, and create the power in your homes, in your regions and in your country, so that the Green Climate Fund can actually be useful to us and not be the greedy corporate fund or be a danger to us. Now that's a challenge for us. There are risks, there are also challenges, there are opportunities, and if it doesn't work, we condemn it. And they are watching, because this is a huge reputational risk for it. And so I think the ball is in our court, So whether we want to carry the baby or abandon the baby, it's up to us. Thank you very much.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.